Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Sunday, May 6th, and the sun is shining. It is warm here in Indianapolis, and it's the month of May. Indianapolis just hosted the mini marathon this past weekend, and now it's racing season here for the city. Next weekend, we have the Indianapolis Indy Grand Prix for the road course, and then it all leads up to the Indianapolis 500 later on this month on Sunday, end of the month. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, as always. Tonight's show, we will have a special guest joining us, one of my NBA gurus, and one of our guys that will save us, bring us all back down the earth, give us the real truth. Jonathan Birdsong will be joining us here shortly to talk a little NBA, and then a little NBA offseason and the Pacers recap and what the Pacers should look for. So Jonathan will be joining us here shortly. A little bit of housekeeping notes for us. Corey will be back sometime this week. We will do another radio show later on this week. We also will be having Chris back on here soon. We do have the new logos that are updated. Hope you guys all like those. This past weekend, it was very weird not having our Pacers, obviously still back in the playoffs. A little hard not seeing them there, but NBA was back in full swing, and first the thoughts of mine of the NBA playoffs is I think it's dead. I think the series are all over. Obviously, we just seen Golden State win very convincingly there, but let's go ahead and hit to the NBA or the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals. Let's do the NBA Finals. We already know what teams we're going to have there pretty much, so let's fast forward. These the semifinals have been pretty much a dud so far, so but we'll see. It's a, we have one more game this evening, still the Rockets and Jazz. I think the Rockets, even though the Jazz will put up a good fight with no Ricky Rubio, I think the Rockets are going to proceed pretty quickly, and disperse to them, take a 3-1 and then go back and end this sucker in five games. So, we're going to have Jonathan Birdsong on here shortly. Until then, we're going to play a couple quick ads. And then we come back, we'll hopefully have Birdsong on here soon. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top quality drone services with expertise and professionalism, specializing in aerial photography and videography using the highest quality drone equipment. Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's dronepromedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights. Hey guys, coming downtown for a night on the town, that big sporting event, or that concert? Stay at the Omni Severn Hotel, located at 40 West Jackson Place, for your hotel accommodation needs. Look us up at www.omnihotels.com or 1-800-THE-OMNI for your accommodations. While you're there, be sure to check out the 1913 Restaurant, The Wine Thief, and the Severin Bar for your entertainment option. All right, and we are back. Let's talk a little NBA to kill some time right now. We've got the, you got your four series, you got the Boston and Philly, and, you know, just a recap, just that series in general. I thought this would be an exciting series. I mean, it's been an exciting series, but, it's very, Boston has shown everybody that with this team and the players that they've lost, that they are still somebody to contend with. And Philly they're just a bunch of hype. I want to pull for Philly here in this series, but geez me, Christmas, with all these turnovers they're having and the ways that they're finding to lose these games. As I tweeted out yesterday, it's Philly being Philly. And it's frustrating watching the games. Philly had a two on game two. Philly had a 22-point lead with 6 minutes to go in the second quarter, and Boston rallied to come back there to take the lead at halftime of that game. The Philly coach Brett Brown, he didn't even call a timeout during the run at all. He said he just wanted his players to play and let them kind of go at it there. And I thought that was interesting. Last night's game, Boston made the run, and then they come through and hit a big shot. And then Philly had the ball for a chance to win the game on a tie game, and they turned it over. J.J. Redick turned it over looking for Ben Simmons, and Boston comes down and scores. And then Philly, Marco Bellinelli hit that game or the game tying shot, and then the damn confetti goes off, and then it takes 5-6 minutes to wipe off all the damn court to send it to overtime. So Philly being Philly with the confetti going off again. Very interesting how they've done that there. So Philly being Philly here, this series should be a hell of a lot closer than what it is. So looks like we have our gentleman on. Give me 1 second here. You are on.
Good afternoon, Brandon Reef. How you doing?
Jonathan Birdsong, doing well. How are you, my friend?
Doing just fine, man. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, man. I've heard a lot of people complaining about these NBA playoffs and talking about Cleveland and Toronto and stuff. I had to get the guy on that calms everybody's nerves down, at least mine. I had to do it.
Well, yeah. I don't know what the complaint is. I mean, I understand maybe people are wanting Toronto to, like, finally slay the Dragon and LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, but can you say the guy's just special? He just finds a way to win. And Toronto came into the season with a pretty much stacked deck. They built up their bench. And Lowry and DeRozan played excellent throughout this year, but like I said, LeBron James, he's just that special.
Yeah, LeBron, he finds another way to do it. And this time it was and I thought it was interesting. They took it out full court this time. And from what they said this morning was that they were expecting a double team, a half court, but it looked like one-on-one. And give it to OG. I mean,
well,
God,
yeah.
He's trying to guard him all season or all series.
Yeah, well, like everybody, that's the scouting report. It's like you got to keep LeBron out of the paint. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to make him more of a jump shooter. But sounds like it's harder. It's easier said than done, So, he just finds a way. Sometimes the jumper ain't going, and sometimes it is. And that was an incredible – I mean, I thought the shot that he hit against the Pacers was incredible. But that one the other night was even more so. Even off the glass. I mean, I don't even think he did that in NBA jams.
Oh, yeah. He's finding new ways to win these games. And people were giving him crap, Skip Bayless and all that, about – LeBron's not taking the shot. Well, with this roster, he has to. And, he don't have that Kyrie to do it. And, by God, he's finding a way to do it. That's probably why he's the best player in the league.
Right. I'm a believer. I don't necessarily get involved into the whole him versus Michael Jordan or him versus any other player from the past. I try to just, appreciate what he's doing right now. I'm just in awe of it, really, to be honest with
that,
you.
Yeah, that game, too. When he was just hitting fadeaway jumper and creating his own shot, I just sat back and said to just enjoy it. This is something that you're not going to see probably in the next 10 years. There's nobody else that's going to come in the league and do that unless it's his son in about 12 years.
Right. So, absolutely.
So can we officially label Toronto as dead? I have. They are done.
I would say Toronto's done. Toronto will try to they'll put up a good fight because nobody wants to go out looking bad. But they're done, and I would imagine that team's going to get a good facelift in the summertime.
Oh yeah, you have to break up the band. I mean, it's Valanciunas. I don't know if he'll be staying there. I mean,
I don't know if it's a total breakup. They got I'm an IU guy. I keep track of all the IU players. OG Anunoby is coming along. He actually had a pretty good game last night. But like I said, he'll be what I think is his third year next year.
Yep.
The expectation would be a more expanded role. I believe that's what why Casey set DeRozan down. Casey, DeRozan was having a bad game, and OG was having a heck of a game, and that's who we went with down the stretch. So it's kind of I would assume the writing's on the wall. Yeah.
Are you a believer of Kyle Lowry? I can't get behind him. For some reason, I don't know if it's his look on the court.
He's – for what they pay him? he's like – if he's in between $27, $28 million a year, you think – it's not that he – he didn't have a bad game. He didn't have a bad game last night. He's had some poor games in this series.
Yeah.
He's not the penetrator that you necessarily want to guard him, but he kind of feels like what point guards are right now. He passes pretty well. He hits his outside jumper. It's just sometimes the jumper just ain't falling.
I don't know.
For that money they pay for him, though, you expect the jumper to fall, though, you know?
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. And he can't be shooting 4 of 17 or 4 of 15 or whatnot. Dwayne Casey,
right.
Does he keep his job?
You know, Toronto's got a history of turning out coaches. I remember the old Pacers, Sam Mitchell, got coach of the year 1 year, and the next year, because they had a subpar season, he was out. I think he keeps his job. I think he keeps his job. Well, I don't know. How many games they win this year? Like 50-something? 58?
53.
I don't know. Is there another candidate out there? They could better other this ship. I know Vogel got fired. I love Frank Vogel. I always will. But, you know, he's probably going to chill on his $11 million buyout for a little bit anyway. I don't know if Jeff Van Gundy's or Mark Jackson of the world want to jump right back into it. They seem very comfortable working their ESPN jobs. But so
I mean, is D'Antoni a head coach somewhere still? Is he still?
Who's that now?
D'Antoni. Is he still Houston? Is he Houston still, right?
Yeah, he's still there. Yep.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I thought he was there, but for some reason. But if he wasn't there, then hell, send him up there. But I think they need somebody that has that quick pace. And I think that's where Toronto plays well. And unfortunately, I think the money that Valanciunas is getting, I think you got to move him out, find some of those players, the stretch fours that can play the five. I like Van Vliet as their point guard,
coming off
the bench.
A lot of people didn't believe in Van Vliet. Because of size and whatnot coming out of Wichita State. And there's a lot of – man, I got friends who are coaches, man, say that most of the time NBA scouts get it right, but I don't think they got it right at all with a player like Van Vliet. I know he's coming off an injury too, not to make too many excuses for him, but he's had a real deserved season where Lowry was out and he actually started some games and put up pretty good numbers.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So I think we both said Toronto is dead in this one. Cleveland, if they don't sweep them, they're going to win it in five, and then LeBron will be back in that Eastern Conference final again with this team. So we'll go to this one. I think is more interesting of a series, which it could be 2-2 or 2-1 right now. But Boston's up 3-0. Brad Stevens finding that way. Those great plays. Philly just self-destructing game after game. I was sitting at a Mexican restaurant Saturday night watching the end of this game, and with the damn confetti going off, and they turned the ball over. My boy J.J. Redick,
right,
that hurt me.
Right, they thought the game was won. Right.
You're a big Boston guy. I'm anxious to hear what you think of this series.
It's amazing. Well, here's what I'll say: Danny Ainge, you know, has been the orchestrator behind this whole Boston team, and it's not like he's one general manager, scout, whatever, that does his homework, and he knows who can play and who cannot. And this was the kind of guys that, you know, he has the right kind of guy, so he has depth. I want to say Marcus Smart was a top 10, he was top 5, I'm pretty sure, top 5 pick. Rozier played at Louisville, however you feel about Louisville, still, he played at Louisville. And Tatum's pretty much still at the draft. I watched him at Duke. I know you did, and I thought he was you know Paul George esque type of player, kind of like a slash and shooter like that. But you know, young, right? But a lot of guys, you know, he certainly fooled Philadelphia on that trade from early on this summer, and. But he's got, like I said, he's got like a real talented team, and he brought in Morris, which I kind of question marked, you know, the one twin Morris, But that brings in toughness. So you got to have like you kind of got to have somebody tough and maybe even goonish, to for lack of a better word, to be on the team to play somewhat of an enforcer out there for you. So and then you've got the old man in the middle, Horford, who still got it, who still got a little juice in the tank. So they are well. And with Brad, you have somebody who can coach, who players respect and allow to be coached. And they basically beat Philadelphia because Philadelphia got sloppy. And Philadelphia is on the floor anyway. I'm not nothing against Brown, their coach, because I think he's from the San Antonio family tree, I do believe. They just got real sloppy. They got impatient, and they got into hero ball, and Ben Simmons didn't have a great game at all.
He hasn't had a good series besides the one of the first games, and God, you score 1 point. Game two, they're just getting sloppy. A lot of bad plays towards the end. Now, yeah, granted, Bellinelli, he hit that jumper at the end of the game to send it to overtime, but I question some of the play calling even when they're out there with it. And the fact I've seen Embiid post up on a few plays there, and that final 4 minute stretch of the fourth quarter was probably the sloppiest game, final 4 minutes of a game I've seen. It made it look like it was the end of the first quarter. Both teams are just turning the ball over and missed opportunities and terrible shot opportunities. Embiid did some spin moves and I'm just trying to throw up something, but
I like
Philly.
Like
I want to cheer for him, but I can't.
Philly, they're just not disciplined at all, and that's what kind of you can blame a single solitary player like Ben Simmons, or you can blame the other star player, or you can blame the coach, but they're just not disciplined at all. And then when you're facing a disciplined team in a close game like that, usually discipline, wins over.
You know who would be very good on this team in those clutch situations?
Oh my goodness, who you got?
It's three letters. LBJ.
He's not going there. If he goes, my gut feeling is in Cleveland. Like you got him, man. He has so much power in that. Even with him and having a contentious relationship with the owner, he has so much power in that organization. He can get coaches removed. He can get players removed. You know what I mean? Are you going to have that kind of power if you go to L.A.? No, Magic Johnson is the face of the Lakers, regardless of whoever, comes in that door. Philadelphia would take a back step to some of LeBron James's demands and things that he want. But, that's a team I just can't see it. I mean, granted, anybody LeBron James plays for is automatic instant contender. Automatic instant contender. You go to Atlanta Hawks, and they would probably be a third seed,
right,
even with the rosters that they have. But I just can't see him leaving a place where he is literally the king of the mountain.
Oh yeah. I've got that question loaded up for later on when we go through the NBA. But I just wanted to get a little stuff now. But just so you know, the people that listen to this, and I know for sure, I want to know on deciding where LeBron goes. So I've got the perfect record right now for where he goes when he came back to Cleveland. So I know you remember that. I was calling that the entire year. I can hang my hat on that. It fits the model. If he wants to play with young guys, it fits the model. But do I think he would look good there, but do I think he's going to go there? No. And I'll tell you a little bit later on. That's a little of a tease think he's going to go. So we'll go quick to the game that just happened, the series, I guess, the Warriors and Pelicans. Warriors just dominated, and I totally just missed out on a lot of money on that game.
I'm really disappointed. I thought the Pelicans, they showed a lot of fight and desire to win. And to not get swept, what good game three, but totally sloppy basketball in the second half. Totally sloppy.
Oh, it had to have been. Totally I went to bed. I fell asleep at halftime, and it was like a 5-point game. And then I woke up at the end of the third quarter, and they're down by 20.
Golden State played better. That's one.
Oh, yeah, they did.
So, you know, they have to play, Pelicans have to play almost a perfect game in order to beat Golden State on their worst day. So they'll probably lose, unfortunately, the next game.
Oh, yeah, this series is over.
That'll be it. So learning, they need like one more piece.
Are they better without DeMarcus?
Absolutely.
Are they better without him?
That's not me being a DeMarcus hater. That's just the truth.
Well, where do you send him? You have to unload him. Or is he a free agent? He might be a free agent.
So you just let him walk.
Yeah.
You just let him walk. He'll probably end somewhere. If Magic Johnson doesn't get what he wants out here in L.A., he'll probably end somewhere out in California.
Oof.
That's my prediction.
Clippers.
The injury didn't help him, but hasn't helped him.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's not going to get the Supermax. But he is talent. And, you know, a coach and an organization think they can, you know. He was pretty much a pretty good, you know, he wasn't a bad guy. You know, as far
right.
as like a grumpled bump, he was in Sacramento this year. But, you know, that Twin Tower situation that worked in the past for other teams, maybe Houston, and I think when Houston went to the Final Four, or not the Finals, but the Finals, when Olajuwon was a rookie back in 86, or
uh-huh.
the Spurs, and they robbed Tim Duncan. You know, this particular mix of 10 trials doesn't work. DeMarcus and Anthony Davis play too much alike. They both like to shoot outside, and that
right.
kind of leaves the rim, kind of leaves nobody at a rebound. So you just
I agree.
I mean, it was a gamble. They lost a lot, and I mean, they didn't. To them, from an organization standpoint, they didn't lose a lot as far as the trade was concerned. Buddy Hill, right, is still developing or whatnot.
Right.
So they let him walk, and hopefully they can maybe get. They really do need another wing player. They really do. Another wing player.
Paul George.
If they can get Paul George, that would be awesome for them. That would make
that's
them
the type
dangerous.
Of player they need down there. That's who the type they need.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I don't know if Paul is headed that way west though or south.
Do you know where? Who I think goes there? And I'll call it now. I'm calling my shot. I think Carmelo Anthony ends up in New Orleans. They think he's going to be that guy. He wants to start. He doesn't want to come off the bench. I think he comes to New Orleans. He starts and ends up being a dud just as much as he was in Oklahoma City. Because they want to unload him. Oklahoma doesn't want him.
I can see it because they could buy out. It's probably going to be a buyout situation with Carmelo in Oklahoma. No way they pay him. No way they pay him $28 million to come back.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard playing with Westbrook. It's hard for any player, as you can see. He throws off. He might have big assists. He might have big rebounds, and he might have big scoring games. But it's hard if you are ISO. If you're an ISO scorer like Carmelo, like Durant was, like Paul George is, it's hard playing with him. Westbrook needs
yeah.
more guys that can just hit open jumpers and can do pick rolls. So I could see somewhat of what you're saying. I could see that.
They're
New
not
going to
get what they want out of him, but, I mean, it's the type of player they need there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he doesn't. It's one of those you don't have to rely on Carmelo to sit there and hit every single shot. You've got a nice young point guard with Holiday, and you've got your big with Davis in
correct.
There. And Etuan Moore can play off the ball as your two. You put Melo in at the three, you're fine.
And I expect Minerick to get better. I really do.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's your four.
He really surprised me this year. Like, I kept a track of when he was still with the Bulls. They went on a little 8-game run. And I wonder why the Bulls want to trade him. But the Bulls just won a total overhaul, clearly.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of suitors looking for Minerick services. And it took a while to actually trade him, but like I expect him to be better next year. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. Tonight we've got Rockets Jazz Game 4, Utah. No Ricky Rubio, which I think that spells the end of the Utah Jazz. I think the Rockets win this one, and then they win the next one as well. Donovan
Utah
Mitchell
Jazz
can't do it all himself, and that's what he's having to do now.
He did all himself against Oklahoma. But no, you're absolutely right. I got them still winning tonight. I got Utah winning tonight. That they're still playing in Utah, I do believe, and that place goes a little bananas for them. I think the game got out of I think they lost by like 30. Last game, they got out of hand for them.
70-40 at halftime.
Yeah, they that team knows they don't like to get embarrassed. With Crowder and Ingles, they don't like to get embarrassed. So, I think the first series they lost, it was a big game against, they lost against Oklahoma, and then they reacted. I think it could at least go six with Oklahoma. I mean, I'm sorry, with Houston and Utah. I like Utah. Nobody expected no scout, no general manager. Nobody expected that for Donovan Mitchell to be that good. No way. Otherwise, he'd have got like I said, him and Tatum. Well, Tatum was drafted number three, but I'm pretty sure Donovan Mitchell probably should be in the number one or number two the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, I think Utah, they remind me so much as a team of the Pacers. They are the Western Conference version of the Pacers.
They got some good reserves, absolutely.
I watch them play, and it reminds me of Indiana. And I don't know if it's because I'm watching white boy Joe Ingles hit a three from the corner, or they've got an up-and-coming star.
Go Bears is Roy Hibbert before Roy Hibbert took a nap.
Boy, I got a hot take for you when we get on the Pacers. I'd rather have Roy Hibbert than Miles Turner. What they've done right now in their years. Miles is so soft, John. He's so soft.
Oh, man.
He's so finesse. Tristan Thompson ate the boy alive. Ate him alive.
Tristan Thompson,
he's got
I'm
a lot to,
to
show me this offseason.
I'm not ready to give up on Miles just yet. You know, that's one of the reasons why Paul George was iffy on the Pacers, because he constantly looked over and see who he was playing with. But I'm not ready to give up on Paul. I'm not ready to give up on Miles Turner just yet. Of course, could he play better? Absolutely. Could Darren Collison play better? Absolutely. Could Oladipo play better? Absolutely. So he's not my whipping boy for all of Pacers' woes just yet. There's a lot of games that Victor kept on shooting. I'm like, dude, what's going on here? You're gonna go over 8, over 9.
He's my whipping boy for this year.
Yeah. But, I'm not ready to give up on Miles. Now, if he comes back next year and it's more of the same, then it's probably going to be some discussions about moving him.
Well, this is it. I mean, this is the final – this next year is his contract year. You're making $2.6 or $3.5 million this next year. Chump change.
Yep.
You're playing for a contract, so I expect huge things this summer and going into next fall with him.
He's got to put on weight. He's got to – He plays off the ball defense pretty well. He rebounds pretty well. He does fall in love with that jump shot, which is not as great as he thinks it is.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I look at Hibbert, and he was obviously the physicality that Hibbert had, and you know, he'd get the ball inside, and if he was pissed off, he's going to dunk the hell out of it. Miles almost has to have a running start to dunk the hell out of it. And the perfect example, he had Kyle Korver on him. And J.R. Smith on back to possessions, and Miles faded away jumpers from 13 feet away. You are 7 foot tall, and you got one of those guys on you. Two terrible defenders for Cleveland. Go in strong to him. I don't know. Like I said, Miles, I need a lot this season from Miles. He's grown as much as he should have.
Post play in this playoff has not. We could pick on Miles Turner, but like I watched Minnesota play as well, and Towns against Houston was invisible except for like one game.
Right.
So I'm not ready necessarily to give up on Miles just yet. It'd be a shame for him to go somewhere crazy like the Spurs somewhere, or oh my goodness, not the Lakers again. Seems like we become a beating company for different teams. And then for them to like fully develop. But I don't know. You know, there's always somebody that says, hey man, they need to go work out with Patrick Ewing or, you know, or Hakeem Olajuwon or something like that. And where's Sam Perkins at? Can he not work out? Miles Turner loves to shoot, and Sam Perkins seemingly mixed post play with shooting pretty well. So I thought Sam was on the payroll at one point.
I thought he was.
player development. I had to double check that. I don't know. He might not be still. Look, but that's
Monte Ellis is still on the paybook. We're still paying him for the next three more years.
That's horrible. They got to pay that dude up to like 2022 or something like that. Something crazy.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
We're still paying him, and we're still paying what the other guy who's on the team. I can't think who it is. Yeah. Well, yeah.
From the Patriots. Yeah, they're still paying out. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're on the Pacers already, so I'm happy to see Corey Joseph picked up his option. I really liked him coming off the bench. I thought when we signed him last year that he was going to be a great backup point guard or even a starter. He started.
Yeah,
I think he did well when he started.
Yeah, I was worried that he was going to go to the open market and Pacers going to have to try to outbid somebody to keep his services. I'm glad that does sort of solidify our backcourt, and I'm happy. I'm not totally crapping on Darren. I never wanted Darren to leave. I'm probably like one of the lone people never wanted Darren Collison to leave. But if we're not, to quote the great Rick Pitino, so-and-so is not walking through that door because Indiana's a small market team. So if we can't get, the elite level talent, at least we can get, the B guys to come in and stay. Kind of speaks
right.
A lot about the organization. I think, him opting in says a lot about how he feels about the Pacers. Because I don't think his starting position is promised to him. I was concerned about it. If he did go out on open market, who would they go after in the draft? You know what I mean? But now we don't have to worry about that.
Right. Yeah. Pacers have a 22nd pick this year in the draft. I've looked at a few mock drafts and stuff. The main player I'm seeing show up on there is Jalen Brunson from Villanova, the point guard. So
I've seen that. If Jalen Brunson falls to the Pacers, I'd say anybody from Villanova, actually, anybody from Villanova is there for the Pacers to pick. I'm saying pick them because all those dudes are aged. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Either juniors, or they've been there for, three or four seasons and maybe redshirt or whatever. I'd take them.
Yeah.
This is a team that doesn't necessarily need one of the one-and-done guys to basically sit and have to develop. That's what we got T.J. Lee for, who I'm expecting, some more big – oh, man. I'm expecting bigger things out of T.J. Lee.
Boy, my co-host, Corey, he's on his way back from the Bahamas right now, but he is a huge hater on T.J. Lee. Biggest big draft bust, he's calling it.
Oh, man.
I'm starting to believe him.
You got it. You got it, man. Don't. You got to give him a chance. You got to give him a chance.
Yeah. Well,
chance.
I did see.
He got to find his position. You got to understand he's probably used to playing center and overpowering whoever he's been playing against.
Right.
In this league, he's going to have to play more. I'm not saying he is Kevin Love, but he's going to have to play more of that type of role where it's an in and out type thing. So he's going to have to improve his jump shot for sure.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get as a lot of minutes as we probably thought he would. Beginning of the season, we saw he, with the Pacers being an average team, but they stepped up. I looked at my chops when I saw this. I did see one mock draft where the Pacers at 22nd took Grayson Allen, and boy, go ahead and get that jersey on the presses because that's going to be I'll be owning that jersey.
I
know you do not want that.
I love Grayson Allen. If Grayson Allen had hit that shot, then he'd probably have his own documentary coming up in 3 or 4 years. Similar to Christian Laettner's.
Would you take Devontae Graham as point guard
for the Pacers?
Yeah.
Or for
if you had to check between Brunson, if you had to pick Brunson or Devontae Graham,
man,
because I've
seen
five mocks and
it's
3-2.
Yeah, I take Brunson. He's played in bigger games. You know what I mean? I take him. It's not that Graham is terrible though. I think Graham is going to surprise a lot of people. He's going to be more of a jump shooting guard. I mean, part point guard.
Right.
He might. Just like anybody else, because he's limited. He's going to be limited defensively. But I think I definitely think he's a player. He's going to go to a playoff S type team and add value to him.
Yeah. I think so as well. We've got Thad Young has his option coming up, $13 million, if he decides to take it. Or now I've seen reports that he is going to decline his option and then restructure a new deal with the Pacers for more money and more years. So,
being a guy, I love that. Bouncing between Minnesota and Brooklyn, he's probably, you know, ready to at least for the next 4 or 5 years stay in one place.
I keep tweeting his wife. Tell him to stay.
And you know what? He's played the best here.
Yeah.
So could he go somewhere to Orlando or in Atlanta or maybe even I'm trying to think somewhere obscure where basically you'd come and then 2 years from now you'd be traded? Absolutely. But then you're moving your bag, you're packing your bags again. So I think he's at this point in his career, he's looking for stability if that's what's reported is going to happen, where he restructures over more years. I just hope my lone fear is that there's enough money for when it's time to sign Sabonis.
Right. Yeah, 2 more
because
years with him.
That's the guy that is the keeper. Of everybody we've talked about, that's the guy that's the keeper.
Yeah. And he's young. So he's got $2.3 million, I think, the next 2 years he's making, and then we have a decision to make. We got a lot of people on the cheap. Let me tell you, we have 7 players that have non-guaranteed contracts, salaries for next year, currently on the roster.
Bojan, one of them.
Yeah, Bojan's got an option. Collison has an option. Goodbye, Al Jefferson, and that terrible $10 million.
yeah, he's gone. Yep.
Goodbye, Joe Young. I think the Joe Young era is over. It's done. Get it out. We draft a point guard.
Joe Young will bounce back. He'll bounce somewhere and get minutes and be an active person for somebody. But we did the NBA's work for him. We developed Joe Young, but he's kind of caught in between two positions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is he a point guard? No, he's a shooting guard. Not necessarily. So
I agree.
He'll go somewhere and get paid.
Lance Stephenson. Team option, no question. I think they bring him back.
They bring him back. Yeah. But who do they bring back from the outside? They got money to spend.
Yeah, and here's my question for you. I highlighted this, that this is very important for the Pacers to resist the urge to overspend, and this offseason and overreact to what happened. Yes, you're not going to bring back all 15 players. You may not bring back all 12 players. Do you destroy the chemistry for the right player? Possibly. But you've got to – watching these playoffs, you know where you got to get better. I mean, McMillan was at the game tonight watching his son, who is assistant coach for New Orleans. But he's got to be looking at some players of who he thinks he could bring in. But I think this offseason is more important for the Pacers than it was last season with Paul George, personally. Spending the right money, you got it all. You don't have to spend it all this year either.
They needed another – right, correct. They need a shooter. And unless you can
– J.J. Reddick, $23 million.
I don't know the possibility. The only way we could upgrade a point guard is if they traded somebody.
Right.
And I don't know if they want to necessarily trade
They may draft
Miles
that
just
position
yet.
Too.
What's that now?
I said they may even just draft that position for the point guard to replace Joe Young and – that way you have Collison, Joseph, and then you have a rookie.
Well, they could, but then how much quality time are you going to get? That would just be my question. But they do need a shooter. So if you can figure out in one player your shooting and your passing, I know, right? Easier said than done. I think that they need like a combo small forward. But you're no believer in TJ League, so.
No, absolutely not. We've got the second most money to spend this offseason, estimated right now $64 million to use. I want to spend the money. You got it. I always love to spend money. But, I mean, you don't want to destroy the team chemistry you've got. You want to get the right player. J.J. Redick, I'm sure he's going to be back to Philly for what he's done this season. But he was on a one-year $23 million deal.
Right, he will.
You need shooting. Pritchard's got to decide, well, how bad do you need shooting? Do you – but if you bring Redick in, he's not going to come off the bench.
No,
right?
he's going to be a starter.
So then that would move Depot to the small forward? And then you lose Bojan?
Yeah, Oladipo's a shooting guard. I'm not opposed to bringing Paul George back, but I don't think that number is going to fit.
Oh my God! Did you just say what I thought you said?
I don't know
if you can hear this. I'm gonna play this sound effect.
Some players play better in the Pacers uniform. Some players play better in the Pacers uniform. Mark Jackson and.
That's what I think of Paul George. Do not bring him back.
Brent, check this out. Did he let us down by not being forthright? Absolutely. Did the
Correct.
Pacers put him through a bunch of craziness by saying he's going to play power forward 1 year?
Correct.
Or I'm trying to think. There was another thing Larry Bird came out with. And, you know, they kind of – and then all types of weirdness came out of that organization. David West taking pay cuts to go play with the Spurs and Golden State. Sometimes I think Paul maybe listens to too many of the friends and the homies and the entourage and like, dude, who you playing with? You ain't playing with anybody, that type. And then Larry Bird comes out saying you're playing power forward here all your life, all your pro basketball life, you play wing. How do you – you know what I mean? And it was kind of an inconsistent time, somewhat, for him
right.
being here. So I've kind of seen both sides. I don't necessarily agree with Paul. They had an agreement with Paul George, and they had gave Paul George. They told him this is what if you do sign this contract, this is what the team's going to be, and then he basically snowed him. So I do kind of see your point as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I could see him coming back. I don't think Pritchard wants to, because you got to think, John, that's going to screw up that team chemistry. If he comes back, I want you to answer me the question, whose team is it when he comes back? Whose team? Is it his?
Or is it Depot's team? We can see, you know.
Do you think Paul George is going to accept that a team that he was previously on, that it's somebody else's team, and it's not his team with him coming back to be the shiny knight to help lead Indiana to a championship?
You know, an announcer, I can't remember the name, escapes me right now, said, you know what, Paul George might not be that guy. He might be the guy that just can put up the crazy stats, but he's not the guy that's the leader that everybody thinks just because he's the leading scorer should be the leader. Was Kevin? So think about this. Kevin Garnett, when his days in Boston, he was the leader of the team, but the leading scorer of the team was actually Ray Allen, I do believe, or Paul Pierce, one of them, but they kind of co-led if it was Paul
right.
Pierce, but you get my drift. The leader of the team, that doesn't have to be the leader, the guy who has all the points. And I think that's kind of what Paul George – I don't think Matt – there's no way he goes out to L.A. and gets all that money that he thinks he's supposed to get. And for them, that pressure, there's even more pressure out there in L.A. But
yeah,
he might not just be the leader of the team.
I don't know what my thoughts would be if he actually didn't have come here. Well, first I'd be pissed. I'd just try to burn all my jerseys if he does come back.
Is he A-level talent? Think about this. Is he A-level talent?
He is, but do you think – I don't know. To me, the chemistry and, you know, yeah, supposedly him and Pritchard are still pretty good buddies. And I don't know. I'd be curious how this fan base would – how they would accept him that first game back. Would it be open arms?
I don't think his numbers and our numbers are in the same area code. So it's strictly fantasy that we're talking about. He'd have to take a nice little pay cut, and he'd have to take a nice little check into the ego at the door. Because again, this is Victor Oladipo's team for sure. At this point,
exactly.
At this point, it's Victor Oladipo's team. But I'm not, like I said, I'm not opposed to him coming back. I just don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, I'm starting to warm up to the idea since you've been kind of talking me off the ledge with it, which that's why I brought you on, to kind of be the voice of reason for that. I honestly think he ends up back in L.A. The whole plan still along. Goes to L.A.
Think about the first two seasons in Miami, who was the leader of the team? When LeBron went to Miami, who was the leader of the team? Was it Dwayne or was it LeBron?
Me.
After a while, it was LeBron, but at first it was Dwayne. He wasn't necessarily the leader in support. So that's the way I kind of look at Paul George. Paul George is the kind of guy, he wants to get 20 and he wants to, you know, get his steals and he wants to rebound a little bit. But that pressure of being the leader, not necessarily in his wheelhouse.
Yeah. John, I got a trade for you that I would love to have. It involved your boy Miles Turner. taking
okay.
that $2 million. That way, here's my deal. The Lakers want to spend more, want to have more money available, right? They want to try to go after Paul George and LeBron, apparently still.
Right.
What if, and I don't know if it's draft picks or how this would work money-wise. I haven't looked it up on the trade machine, but if you trade Miles to the Lakers, I would love to have Julius Randle come in here and play, have him and Thad just alternate the 4 and 5.
I don't know
it's
why
the
Lakers are trying to get rid of Julius Randle. I really don't.
I like
but
him.
If that's what they want to do, then by all means, yeah. There's some things from an outside jump shot that he doesn't do as well, but he does rebound and he is rough and tough and tumble. Julius Randle with this Pacers team, not a whole lot of ego there. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
I don't know money wise how it'd work.
I'm not sure he's looking to get paid though.
Absolutely. And and he's wanting to get paid and the Lakers are like, well, we can't keep him. Where can we trade him? Oh, hey, Indiana, we kind of want a big and we have less contract with Miles Turner. If it doesn't work out, we can just get rid of him. I don't know. I guess my Miles Turner hate right now is just so big, bigger than I thought it would be.
There's going to be if the Lakers get who they think they're going to get, it's going to be a real big facelift, even with maybe moving Ball. If they really think they can get LeBron James and Paul George, I don't think Ball's there. I really don't. But that's a whole nother conversation.
Isn't it interesting his dad's been quiet now the entire – I think the last 3 months of the season, I didn't hear anything about his dad. Either that or ESPN just didn't give a shit anymore.
Well, maybe he went over there and seen when they went over to Lithuania and actually seen that there's guys over here trying to play for real, not joke around.
Yeah.
And – 16-year-old LaMelo and I'm sorry, I get the sons mixed up, but they're not of age. They might be professional basketball players, but they are not of age to where he or as good as where he thinks they are. And ultimately, he does have a little bit of WWE hype into his persona, and I think that's a lot to do with it. But you don't want to mess up your son's money. You've already messed up. What did they do? They told Nike to go. Take a flight. They told Adidas to take a flight as far as endorsements and whatnot. And,
right.
Like, that's big money. Regardless, that's money on top of your NBA contract that you get guaranteed. Plus.
Yeah.
So I get it that you want to have your own brand. I totally understand that. But it just didn't make sense to alienate the whole basketball community when you have an unproven. You know what I mean? Those shoe companies come out with checks, blank, ultimately almost like blank checks. And doesn't mean just because you sign a contract with Adidas for 2 or 3 years that's who you have to end up with. But, he's trying to live vicariously through his son. So maybe, maybe there's an uncle, an older uncle, or that talks some sense into it. Because, I there's no way you can't like Lonzo. He says all the, he says all the right things. He tried to play all, except for his jump shot, right? He plays the right way, rebounds fantastically, passes fantastically. He runs a fast break fantastically. But that dad of his is just constantly like chirping. He's worse than he's worse than Allen Iverson's mother. You know
what I mean?
as far as being a distraction. At this point it's not about you, Dad. It's about the kid and the talent that he displays on the floor. So
right.
I'm thinking somebody's actually talked some sense into him. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. All right. Final segment here. Just kind of NBA, the playoffs in general and the off season. I'm just going to throw some points at you and get your reaction and your thoughts. Does Houston have enough to overtake Golden State?
No. Eric Gordon and help me out. Point guard Harden.
Paul.
They don't play enough defense. They don't play enough defense at all. They don't play enough defense at all. That's a total team. They can try to outscore. It's like it'd be like I'm gonna give you a little Peyton Manning love. It'd be trying to like outscore Peyton Manning on the football. When he moved with the Colts, he wants you to hurry up and score so that he can hurry up and score.
Right.
You know what I mean, I don't think they're gonna have to. They don't have enough. I mean,
Who's guarding Durant? Capella.
They don't play enough defense at all.
Yeah.
And they play better defense, and they play in any D'Antoni system, and since he's been with Houston. But they don't play it. They don't have enough. It'll be a fun. Yeah. It'll be a fun, fun series to watch. I think it'll go
absolutely.
At least five.
I'm excited.
At least five.
I'm excited but for it. I'm going to take the over every time in that one. But yeah, I don't know. I've been wanting to see this an actual 7-game series between these two teams, and like you said, it'll be fun. I don't know if they've got enough even as well to pull it off, but we'll see there. Looking at the East, is this LeBron's another march to the NBA Finals?
I think LeBron gets there, but the Celtics ain't gonna roll over. They have home court advantage.
Right. Now we've
seen
this.
That team is fast. Even though LeBron James is special, that team is fast. With Brown and Tatum and Rozier, that team is fast. On the, you know, I mean, fast where Cleveland ain't fast at.
Right.
And Brown's play, except I know he's still nursing an injury or whatnot, but Brown is playing at a higher level. I think it goes seven. I really do.
Okay.
I think it goes seven.
Interesting. You know, another thing, the Pacers, just finished up on the Pacers. As good as we played this year and we're wanting to improve the team, you got to sit there and look at Boston as well. They're without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. They're going to even get better than what they already were. So you still have to try to find pieces to overcome that. And if LeBron is still in the East. So I don't know if you just take the trust the process, I guess, and just build it slow or and just hope that people get hurt and or end up in different leagues or I don't know. I look at Boston's roster and I'm like, how are we going to beat them? I have no clue. If everybody's healthy, that is a unstoppable team.
I think Smart is actually either restricted or unrestricted free agent. And like they can't keep the whole team together. They do have I think they got two first round. They're not lottery pick, but they do have two first rounders in this year's draft. This year's draft is pretty solid. From you know, what I mean, well, you know, the
right.
one doesn't go first. Then you have you'll have all the seniors and juniors that are left, or sophomores, right? that are left.
Yeah.
You know, Boston is going to get it better. If not, Danny Ainge will flip those picks into like. You know, some better he'll flip those pictures like Marc Gasol or something crazy.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. So NBA Finals prediction and your champion.
Unfortunately, you have to have at least two LeBron James to beat Golden State. They are just too special. They have too much talent. There's too much.
Right.
You know, there's just too much Durant. Scores. I mean, he had a bad game last game, but he, you know, he scores at will. He runs up, pull up. It's 2 points or 3 points, depending upon where he pulls up from. Is there games that the Clay can take off because Steph and Durant are running on all cylinders? They have their enforcer in Draymond Green, and he's capable of double doubles and if not triple doubles some nights. They got a bench who probably would be get starter minutes between Iguodala and West. If they were on the other teams, those dudes are old by NBA standards, but they're not old by any realm of the imagination. You know, Iguodala and West on the other team would still get double digit points and probably, you know, with West double digit rebounds. And then they got you know, the joke of the day, Swaggy P, who's also capable of becoming a microwave, you know what I'm saying, putting up points and whatnot. So they are just too deeply talented. Kevin Durant changed the face. The balance of power.
Right.
He joined a 72-9 team. They basically lost Harrison Barnes. You know?
Yeah.
So there's just too much talent. If now, I'll tell you what, if LeBron James can squeak out 6 games for Golden State, then, you know, that there's no victories, you know, unless without the championship, there's no victories. You know, I'm at a loss of words right now. But there, you know, I mean, unless you're in the ring. And beat everybody, you know, go through the worst 4 times. But that would be something even to take that team to 6. Now, if it gets to 7 and wins, man, that does better than Michael Jordan. I'm
right.
serious.
Wow.
If they beat, and I don't think that it's not going to happen, with that talent.
Yeah, I don't think it either.
With Kevin Love and George Hill and J.R. Smith, and Tristan Thompson. If he can will that team to a championship, then he's better than Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan never had to face an All Star lineup like that. That is an All Star team that's in unison in Golden State.
Absolutely, so, yeah. I think Golden State wins it as well.
Yeah, they'll win. I don't know who has whoever. Of course, Golden State has home court, so I don't think they'll get swept though. I really don't. I don't think.
Yeah.
He's too good. That team is good enough not to get swept. It does make me feel good. The Pacers took them to seven though.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The Cavaliers at present constructed are too good to get swept, so I don't think they'll get swept.
Okay. A couple quick things. Let's see. Oklahoma City. What does Russ do? Where does he look? If you, obviously PG's gone. If you trade Melo and get him out of the contract, is Russ probably second guessing that big contract he signed this year? Right.
I would never. I never would second guess $219 million.
That's true.
Right.
That is true.
But there has to be a sit down with because the general manager has tried. He's put together talent with Westbrook being there from his rookie season to present day, and they've tried. It's not like Billy Donovan is a horrible coach, okay? They're gonna have to reel Russ in if that's possible, because the way he plays is just not. Like, nobody's going to run through there to say, hey, man, I want to play with Russ. Nobody. Right. No elite-level guy is going to run there and say, hey, let's go play with Russ.
True story. LeBron, maybe they made a pitch at LeBron, but now the Knicks have hired Fizdale. I like the hire of getting him in there. And now the Knicks think with Fizdale there that they can try to go after LBJ to bring him in.
Yeah, he's not going to New York.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay, and here's where I think he's going. I'm going to call my shot. I think he's going to the Lakers still. I've been on that train now for two years. I think he still ends up a Laker. He's not going to go to Houston.
No.
I mean, second team I would say would probably be Philly. Third would be Miami. Fourth, the Knicks. And then five would be the Cavs.
I'm sticking with Cleveland.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I got an 89% chance. That's who he's sticking with.
A free agent. I think the Pacers go after a quick hit. I think they still go after Aaron Gordon from Orlando. You don't need another big, but I think they're going to bring him in.
Maybe him and Victor Oladipo had they got a kinship down there. They got a relationship down there. So I'm not opposed to Aaron Gordon coming to the Pacers for the right price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is this McMillan's one more year? If he's got to get him over the hump, how much longer are you gonna give him? I just saw Jim O'Brien on the sideline for the Sixers, and it pissed me off last night.
I never was nothing against what he did in Portland in those years. I never was for Frank Vogel getting fired. You know, I'm gonna be that gun for him forever. Nate has done a better job than he did last year. I don't know, man. He'll survive. Even though they don't win at all, go to the conference finals next year, he'll survive another year.
Okay.
He's consistent. He's consistent.
Final two questions for you, and then we'll let you go. And thank you for coming on. I know I've taken about an hour of your time, but
no problem.
With you being a big Spurs fan, I got to know what your thoughts are on this Kawhi and Spurs situation.
Kawhi Leonard is listening to his homies and his family members and worried about who he's playing with. And that's the reason he's not trusting the process. I don't know how you couldn't trust that organization, but he's not. He wants the Supermax, and I don't think the Spurs, even if it would a Kawhi Leonard being 100%, are willing to play a Supermax, because they understand it takes more than one player to win championships, to win games.
Right.
I think they're dealing. They might not get what they want back in return, but I think they're dealing.
I think the Pacers trade their first-round pick this year, first-round pick in 2020, and Miles Turner. And you send him down to San Antonio for Kawhi.
So So Kawhi Leonard will play to finally be a Pacer that he should have been.
Absolutely. Don't make the mistake again. If you have the opportunity, don't make the second mistake. So
you know me, dude.
It's just so weird down there.
In San Antonio?
Yeah, are they in communication with him? Are they not? He's in New York City talking. It's just,
yeah.
It baffles me. And I feel bad for Pops because he's such a great coach. I hate that he has to deal with shit like that. So.
Right.
Okay, final.
It might be that might be something that the players should look at.
Yeah, it could be. Final thing. Last Monday, we found out Mr. Romeo Langford's going to IU. Jonathan Birdsong, where's IU go next year? How far, and where are they finishing the Big Ten? And before you say that, I think Romeo does a one and done. So, no matter what
Romeo's
they do,
Romeo's a one and done. I need to see more for him to be impact one and done. But then again, there's a lot of guys that came out this year's draft that I think are going to be looking like Marcus Teague in the league, out of the league, real fast.
Shout out to Pike Guard.
Yeah, right. Romeo Langford and this coming to IU. IU should finish top 2-3.
Okay. Do they make it to the second weekend? You think with that roster? They got Fennessy coming in down there as well. Yeah, in the tournament.
Whoo.
I mean, I guess it all matters what their draw is. I guess really, sometimes you get the easy draw, and
yeah.
I think they're top three in the Big Ten for sure.
I think they're just going to be happy. I know that's the Fire fan. They don't even want to hear that. Just be happy to make the tournament after a drought. But I think they're just going to be happy to make the tournament. And depending upon where they finish at, it's not that Tom Crean didn't leave the cupboard bare. So
right,
sure. Second week of the tournament, sure. I can go. We can say that, even though it's May.
Exactly. So. All right, John. Well, thanks for joining us on Crossroads Radio. I'm going to try to have you on another time. It gets close to the NBA Finals. That way we can kind of recap.
Sure
and,
thing. My pleasure, man. My pleasure.
See on there.
Anytime
so I appreciate you. Say what?
Anytime you want to talk hoops, man, I'm ready to talk.
All right, JB. I appreciate it. Take care, buddy.
All right. Take care.
See ya. All right, that was Jonathan Birdsong. Thank you, JB, for joining us today, talking NBA hoops. A lot of information there. That's why I brought him on. The guy knows basketball. He'll talk you off a roof if you need it. And he's a real good guy here in Indianapolis. Real good friend of mine and knows his sports and basketball. So I know he did very well there. So we're going to finish up here. Play a couple quick ad reads again, do a little housekeeping recap at the end, and then we'll send you guys on your way. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism. Specializing in aerial photography and videography, using the highest quality drone equipment, Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DRONE. PROMEDIA.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights. Hey guys, coming downtown for a night on the town, that big sporting event or that concert, be sure to stay at the Omni Severn Hotel, located at 40 West Jackson Place for your hotel accommodation needs. Look us up at www.omnihotels.com or 1-800-THE-OMNI for your accommodations. While you're there, be sure to check out the 1913 Restaurant, The Wine Thief, and the Severin Bar for your entertainment option. All right, guys. Yeah, thank you again for joining us on today's show. We'll try to have another show later on this week. We'll get Corey back on as he returns back from the Bahamas trip. That he's currently at right now. In the month of May, the Indy 500 we talked about earlier the show. We have credentials for the Indy 500 this year. So all month of May, I'll be out at the racetrack reporting from out there, sending videos and stuff. Be sure to follow us on our Facebook page, Crossroads Sports. Take us out on Twitter at Crossroads Sports as well. Like this link, share the podcast. This show right here, if you don't catch it live, will also be on iTunes. You can download it from the iTunes account there to listen, and please share that. And we hope you guys enjoyed today's show. We'll be back again either later this week or early next week, and we'll see what happens in the world of sports this week. Take care, guys. Take care.